Well, welcome, everyone. Welcome to March Madness here on Inside ECAC Hockey. Bernie Corbett pleased to be joined on the men's side. Our profile this week from the Quinnipiac Bobcats out of Dartmouth, Nova Scotia. Scored a rather significant goal last year in the postseason, and I'm sure he's thinking about more with the postseason on the horizon. Very happy to have with us Jacob Quillen. Jacob, welcome to the show. Great to have you here and spend some time talking hockey.
Yeah, thanks for the intro, and thanks for having me there.
Absolutely. Well, Jacob, your body of work this season has been exemplary, better than a point a game. You're currently tied for first in the team in assists with 26, second in points with 39, and even more importantly, a plus 16. And all areas, particularly as a centerman, that show that you are playing a 200-foot game, and I'm sure you're taking great pride in that. And responsible. If you're not responsible defensively, Rand ain't going to play anyway.
Yeah, he takes pride in everyone playing all zones of the ice. But I mean, but the points thing, I'm playing with great players. I started the year with Graf and Lipkin, and now I'm playing with two great freshmen, Marcellus and Cerbone. So I mean, give credit to them as well.
Yeah, what do they bring to the ice in terms of giving some insight about why that line has been successful, why you guys have clicked and complement each other so well?
I mean, Marcellus, he battles, he wins battles. Sometimes he's in the corner, you don't know how he comes out with the puck. And he has a great playmaking ability, and Cerbone, he's got an unreal shot and he's got great playmaking ability too. So, we're a line that's just really tenacious on the puck and, trying to get zone time, win battles, get shots on net and just bang one in.
And also your success on the power play, you've got their four power play goals to rank among the team leaders. Your role on the power play to take us inside of that in terms of where you've been able to function most efficiently.
Yeah, so I'm net front on the power play, just kind of bring that physical presence in front, have a net anchor, give a little more room for guys like Graf and Lipkin to tee off there. And, hopefully it goes in. If it doesn't, I'm there to bang in a rebound.
And this season for Quinnipiac, have you felt it? As a junior, you've been in the program a couple of years. I talked to Rand last week. The bullseye, I think, is always on Quinnipiac because of the success that they've had now longstanding with the program. But do you think that bullseye got maybe exponentially bigger this season as a defending national champion? Could you kind of feel that with the competition night in and night out?
Yeah, I mean, we get everyone's best game, that's for sure. But wouldn't want it any other way. I mean, it prepares us, for the what we're going through the second half of the season. So, I mean, we want to be in those big games, and we're going to get teams best from now on. It's do or die season. So, I mean, I wouldn't want to have it any other way.
The veteran presence on this team, you've got a great core group of guys that are in third, fourth season juniors and seniors that have been through it and know what it's like to experience what you did last year. What about conveying that to some of the younger guys in the program? Do you think you guys have been successful in that area to really gear up for the most important hockey now that you guys know that's going to be played in March?
Yeah, I mean, all I really do is just lead by example. It starts in the gym, it starts off ice, grinding in the gym, working hard, add atmosphere, that good energy, and then bring ice. Everything really happens in practice. We want to create a high level of practice, everyone around us better every day. Our practices are intense. We're just going to continue building that, take our experience from last year and, shed it on to everyone on the team and make everyone around us better.
Not unusual for guys to cover a lot of miles, Jacob, before they get to Division I hockey. You're certainly no exception. Grew up Nova Scotia. And then came down to Connecticut. First stop was in Salisbury, and then you went all the way out to British Columbia to Penticton. As far as the journey and the progress along the way, I'm sure the competitiveness was ratcheted up at each stop along the way to bring you to where you are now as a successful Division I player.
Yeah, I mean, growing up there, I idolized players like Crosby, McKinnon, Marchand. So, I mean, and growing up, going all those places, I had great coaches along the way. I mean, credit to everybody for my success. I mean, I couldn't have done it with any other people along the way. So, I mean, you know, that in Salisbury, I had a great coach with Andrew Will, and then Penn Tickton, Fred Harbinson, and then now here, I have unbelievable coaches all along the way.
And to put up some big numbers at every stop there and showed the improvement, as you've showed, we'll talk about in a minute, your improvement at Quinnipiac year to year is what really made college coaches smile. You had 58 games with 70 points at Salisbury, and then followed that up with a big season in Penticton. And as far as your decision, in my research, I read the decision to come to Quinnipiac, the commitment was made very early. 14, when you decided to the Quinnipiac was the place. That was early on. Just to give us some insight about that and why you decided that this was the place very early on in the process. Looks like Quinnipiac was on the case with you very early in your time as a player in your development.
Yeah, so I actually had Bill Riga, former Quinnipiac coach, now at Holy Cross.
Oh, yeah.
Come watch me at a showcase down in Bedford, Nova Scotia. And he was watching me for a couple of years there, and he offered me to on a visit, and then once I came to the school, ran in the coaching staff, offered me a scholarship. And it took me, I think it took me 5 or 6 months to, you know, finally make up my mind. But I mean, I think it was the right decision. I fell in love with the campus, the rink. There's nothing like college hockey where I'm from. It's, you know, it's all the QMJHL, like Halifax Moosehead and stuff like that. But I also wanted to follow my brother's footsteps. He played college hockey too, and he's my biggest role model. So I want to follow in his steps. Yeah, so that's why I came here.
It's absolutely. Your brother Nick with the Colgate Raiders.
Yeah.
And you had that as a precedent. So college was on the radar screen for you early on, and with the family influence also was a big factor.
Yeah. My brother also went to a prep school called the Gunnery as well. So I kind of followed in his footsteps as well. And then, I kind of made my own path a little bit there instead of, you know, following the schools he went to. I decided on, schools that I wanted to, but I know same kind of path, but, everything I know he's taught me. So, he's trained me from when I was a really young age. He's helped me on the ice, everything. So.
And when you look, once again, the development and guys, sometimes things have changed. I've noticed a change as long as I've been covering college hockey, which is a long time. But being able to have a guy in your program, just invaluable. And really, I think would make coaches smile for time eternal. 3-4 year guys, ideally. Watch the development from each year, the progress. Case in point for you, you had 9 points, was a plus 10 as a freshman, and showed just a great improvement. Really had took a quantum leap last year with 38 points in 41 games. And of course, the national championship really made the effort from what I learned between your freshman and sophomore year to really work on a couple of areas of the game that you needed to work on. And it certainly paid dividends, particularly your skating. There was never a question about your hockey IQ, Jacob, but the skating and also your strength. It looks like you really get into the gym. And did you have a particular skating? I know there's power skating coaches and coaches that work on the edges and the skating. Did you also have somebody as kind of a guru to work with you in the summer to get you ready for making that big jump a year ago?
Yeah. So after my freshman year, I decided to stay at school and work with Coach B in the gym all season. And he's probably the biggest reason why I had so much success in my second season. You know, he pushed me really hard. He got me so ready for the season. And, you know, I'm so thankful I did that. And, I wouldn't wish it any other way.
No, I don't think anybody that follows Quinnipiac would either. right to the final result. I was there, I was covering the tournament and, had the opportunity to see, the spectacular finish to the national championship. You call the play, the jet, and, coaches, I know a lot of times the mental aspect of the game is that visualization. And from what I understand, you truly had a visualization of that play, which hadn't been successful, apparently, when you guys practiced it, but it was certainly successful at the most opportune moment. To kind of take us through that and why the visualization, I think, was an imperative to the success. That you saw it and it happened and you won a national championship.
Yeah, I mean, it all starts with the practice. We practice that play and you know, a couple times a week. Well, maybe not a couple of times a week, maybe once every other week, but it's a good play just to get possession. But on the visualization aspect, I dreamt the celebration the night before, so I think God sent me a message about winning the national championship. So I mean, I'm glad He's with me.
Yeah, I was gonna say I'm glad. I hope He's with me too. That's why I pray every day. Anyway, Jacob, but indeed, He certainly was with you, and you actually with this premonition. One of your hockey buddies that you played with growing up, Brady Burns, you actually told him, I think, before the season that you were going to win the national championship.
Yeah, I did. We, you know, we're good buddies. I told him to put a little money on there. Hopefully he listened to me. But I wish him all the best.
Put the money on Quinnipiac. Yes, absolutely. That would have been the way to go. And also I found out, truth be told, that, this wasn't the first time that you, in your hockey career, exhibited the ultimate flair for the dramatic. Back with the Steel Subaru, 14-year-old, you were playing up with guys that were, 4 years older than you at the time, and hadn't played much in the championship game. Game went to overtime. And, how many guesses do we have, folks, as to who decided that game in overtime for a championship? So this was something you'd done before.
Yeah, I don't know if it was 3-4 years older, but maybe one or two there. But playing for the Steel Subaru in my hometown, midget team. I mean, that was unbelievable. I played with great players like Luke Hemman, Ozzie King, Jordy McKenna. They're hometown guys that were that went on to have successful careers. So I mean, credit all those guys too for the overtime winner and stuff like that. But I mean, yeah.
You went in the goal description. You went in on a 2-on-1. You sold the defenseman on the pass well enough that you just sniped it.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, I'm glad I do my research, Jacob. There you go. I do my homework. You know, don't ever question me doing my homework. What are the best aspects of your game that people talk about, and why wouldn't they? I mean, I've seen you play and had the opportunity. Is your hockey IQ, your intelligence? How does that really feed into you being such a great distributor? I mean, on a roll this season, you got 26 assists, the value to your line mates the last 10 games in particular with 13 points in your last 10, including 11 assists. But your perspective there and just that ability, it seems like you got that sixth sense about being able to see guys and know where they are on the ice at all times.
Yeah, I think it's just making like little hockey plays. I mean, Every time I'm out on the ice, I just want to make every play right. Hockey's all about, putting the next guy in a better position than you. So if I can distribute the puck and put a guy in a better position, that's what I'm going to do. So, I mean, the 26 assists is just is also credit to my teammates for, making good plays as well.
In the celebration last year, it was noted that you lost your stick and you lost one glove. Did you ever get it back, or are you still short a glove?
I lost one glove. Some kid got it on Rand's street, I believe. So I gave him the other one, signed it. But the stick, a fan from Ann Arbor got it, and we gave him like a jersey and a helmet for the stick back. So hopefully we'll get that up in the rink soon.
Oh, okay. I'm sure that was a good trade, and the Michigan fan was probably happy that you beat Minnesota. So it worked out well all the way around.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. It was good for everybody. And we talk about the season and the reason in terms of college athletics and being a student athlete. And we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about you, all academic selection, and what you've done in the classroom has been exemplary. A finance major, I believe, Jacob. You've got aspirations when the hockey career, hopefully, well down the road with opportunities in hockey, but you're interested in the world of Wall Street and the world of finance.
Yeah, I love finance. It was part of that is because my brother rubbed off on me. We're both pretty interested in the finance aspect. He does commercial real estate in New York City. So once hockey's over, I mean, I'll get into that too, I believe.
Mm-hmm. And, finished on a very strong note with your club against St. Lawrence, 8-0 victory. You had 1-2-3 for a good offensive performance. a chance now. You can kind of recharge the batteries as you get ready for postseason challenges down the road. I'm sure you guys are looking forward to that, to knowing what it takes, having such a good core group there that knows what it takes to have postseason success.
Yeah, we're going to take these 2 weeks and get stronger, touch up some things in practice, and I'll come into the second round of ECAC, with a chip on our shoulder. We want it all again. We want the White Law. We want a national championship. So, we're gonna put our nose to the grindstone and try to do something special.
Well, congratulations, Cleary Cup, for the number one seed and for the body of work of the regular season. And best of luck here as March Madness will commence. And when the Bobcats get back on the ice, Jacob, all the best here. And I hope to see you around the rinks here during the month of March and maybe to April.
Yeah, see you around. Take care. Thank you for having me.
Okay, Jacob Quillen, our guest here, joining us, March Madness edition of Inside ECAC Hockey. Welcome, everyone. Welcome back. March Madness, it is on Inside ECAC Hockey. Bernie Corbett pleased to be joined on the women's side for ECAC Hockey this week by the netminder, senior netminder for the Clarkson Golden Knights out of Ottawa, Ontario, Michelle Pasechnik. Michelle, welcome to the show. Great to have you with us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, it's that time of year, and when you're one of the brand name marquee programs in women's college hockey is Clarkson, it's the time of the year that you focus on during the long and winding college hockey season. Probably take a moment to kind of look back and reflect. You being a senior, your senior year, you certainly have put yourselves in a position there in Potsdam to do something special. The body of work, 31-3-2 and 18-3-1 in the ECAC, and that has been navigating a very, very arduous road in ECAC hockey. Just to give us a little bit of a perspective, you as a netminder, the competition that you face night in and night out, just incredible.
Yeah, obviously we have a very tough league, and so we always got to bring our A game, but the team we have this year is unbelievable. Every girl on our team has something really special to bring to the table, and so I'm never like too nervous going into games. I always know we're going to do really well. And yeah, like you said, the competition's really tough, but with the team we have, I always know we're going to bring a good game, and I just got to do what I do every day, and I know my players will do the same.
Absolutely, and relying on a great core group that you have that's been there, been through it, knows what it's like to play in the big games in March, and that's something that's just invaluable for you to draw on at this time of year, Michelle, with the team in front of you.
Yeah, obviously we have a lot of girls on this team who do have a lot of experience. I mean, my last 3 years, we've made it to the tournament, and pretty much all the girls on my class, and we have a couple graduates on the team who have been the same spot. And so we know what to do, and we just have to teach the younger girls what to bring to the table, and I have no doubt that we'll be okay.
No question. And with an outstanding team that you had, you were the team MVP a year ago, and taking it back and really building it, it's great to see the building process, and college coaches look to see progress from year to year, players that are in the program over a 4-year period, ideally. And I think you really exemplified. I mean, your numbers this year, 1.30 goals against, among the top 10 in the country, top 10 in the country, also 9.41 save percentage, and 8 shutouts. I mean, you've had not only wins, but you've had wins that you've been led a perfect. Anything in particular that you did this off season? You learned over the course of your time as a college athlete. Did you make any changes in your regimen and what you did to get ready for this season?
I don't think I made any changes. Just did the same thing the off season that I always do, which is working out, sticking to my strength coach training. And honestly, I think the biggest thing is the decor we have this year has really helped me out. And obviously, I can take away the first save. They've got the rebounds, and it's helped me a lot this season, and obviously helped me get these 8 shutouts. And yeah.
If you look at it also, you mentioned about your strength and conditioning. Do you have, I know it's pretty popular, seen the growth and development of the coaching of the goaltending position. Do you have one person that you look to, one person that's trained you longstanding? Do you have your own kind of goalie guru that you've been going to for a long time?
Yeah, back home I have a goalie coach, Andrew Mercer, which I've been going to for quite a few years now, and I love him. He knows me really well, knows what's best for me, and we get along great, and I think that's honestly helped me a lot. And I guess I won't be going to him anymore, but I would recommend my goalie coach to anyone who's from Ottawa to go see him, because he really is a good guy.
Now, see, I've been around the rink a few times. I knew there was somebody that was the man or the woman behind the goalie, and I just discovered him, and you gave him some good credit. Probably got him some business. I'd take 10%.
Yeah, no, he's awesome. I'd highly recommend him.
Absolutely. Andrew Mercer's the man if you're in the Ottawa area and you're going to be training as a goalie. Take it from Michelle. Tell him Michelle sent you. She might get a commission. You never know.
I hope so.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. No problem. And the team now, once again, when a team has success and success longstanding as this program, you kind of get the feel, you get the identity for the team as they come down the stretch. It is such a long season, Michelle. You want to be playing your best hockey at the most opportune time. We're talking about a Clarkson team right now, your club. You won 6 in a row, swept Princeton in the quarterfinals last weekend. You're starting to get that feeling that this team is, I don't want to jinx it, but dare I say it, that you're starting to feel it. You're starting to peak at the right time, which is so important.
Yeah, we definitely are. I think we are playing our best hockey right now, and everyone's very committed, doing the extra things that we have to do. And honestly, I just hope we keep this rolling, because obviously it is the most important time of the season. And I have no doubt if we keep doing what we've been doing all season, we'll be just fine.
And the Princeton series last weekend, got to look to the fact that game one, went to double overtime. Take us inside. I love talking to particularly the goaltenders and the mentality. I've been part of broadcasting so many multiple overtime games. My goodness, a long time that I've done for BU hockey. But it really is it's a unique thing in sports too, the hockey overtime. But just from your perspective as a goalie, going through, knowing that one shot's going to end the game either way and go all the way to a second overtime in that game.
Yeah, obviously for any game, especially overtimes, it's tough staying in it, but you just have to. And that's what I did. I just knew I had to dial it in and hope that my team could score. And obviously they did. But yeah, obviously last year against Cornell, we also went to double overtime in multiple games, which won. And against Yale too. So obviously I'm very used to overtimes and playoff situations, and so it was nothing new, and I just knew that I had to keep doing what I was doing and just keep stopping the pucks and wait for my team to score.
Absolutely. You keep stopping the puck, and the game's going to continue. It gets to be pretty simple when you hit it to overtime for multiple overtimes. That's right. And there's some hockey lineage in your family, as I found out. You have a cousin that actually played in the NHL for the Chicago Blackhawks.
Yeah, Jeff Glass.
Yep, that's what. Yep, absolutely. So you do have some ties to the NHL there in the family. Yep, was somebody that had an influence on you and helped out as far as your development?
I mean, I've never actually met him, so I can't say that he's had an impact on me or anything. But I guess it's in the bloodline, and so that's helped me. But yeah, I've never actually met the guy.
Okay, helped you genetically anyway, I guess you
exactly.
could say. Yeah. That's right. In the bloodline. It's in the hockey DNA anyway. And I know you have, from my research here, a goaltender, a European goaltender, a guy from Sweden that did pretty well in the NHL. He's kind of your NHL pro role model, is it, with the great Henrik, the king, the Henrik Lundqvist is the guy.
Yeah, he's definitely my role model. I've looked up to him my whole life. I actually had a big sticker in my dressing room, bedroom of him. And so I've always looked up to him, wanted to be like him. A lot of people told me I played like him, and so that's really helped me. And obviously he doesn't play in the NHL anymore, so I can't really watch him. But when he did, I tried to watch every game and just analyze what he did.
Anybody else that you keep an eye on now at the NHL level? Any goalies you take maybe particular interest in?
Vasilevskiy. I think he's really good. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
And with Lundqvist, you have to come up with another one with Lundqvist retirement there, you know?
No.
Yep. It's kind of like me in tennis. You know, I was a Federer fan and now I like Alcaraz. So there you go. You know, you got to come up with another one. There you go. And as far as coming to Clarkson, and, you know, I know the geography. I've been up there in the North Country going way back from Ottawa to Clarkson. But the move there, you were playing for what, Nepean and up in Ontario and looking to be recruited. Was college hockey, was that always on the radar screen for you to come to the United States and have the chance to play in college?
Yeah, I was. I think I got my first interest in grade 8. Didn't know anything about college hockey. But ever since then, my parents talked to me about it, and then it's always been on the radar. And then as schools started reaching out to me more, then I started to learn more about it. And then I obviously fell in love with Clarkson and decided to come here.
Yeah, I saw the quote that you said. You felt right at home right away. It's great when you have that moment that you look around and say, yeah, I can picture myself here. I can visualize that this is the place for me. It looks like you had kind of that moment in Potsdam and embraced the whole hockey culture of the North Country, which is very unique.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was awesome. As soon as I came here, I knew this place for me. I'm definitely a homebody. So this place only being an hour and a half, an hour 45 from home was also a big factor. But yeah, I definitely loved the facility, loved everything about it, and spent my last 4 years here.
Absolutely. Your family, great support. They drive down, drive down through Cornwall, right, to get there from Ottawa?
Yeah.
There you go. I'm like Google Maps here too, Michelle. I can cover it all. I'm sure that's been great to have that support for them to be making that trip down to Potsdam on a regular basis to follow you. And, well, you know, goalies, I'm always a particular affinity for goalies. I was the son of a goalie, but people have said a son of something else, but that's another story. But being the son of a goalie, I'm always curious with rituals and regimens. You know, hockey players, a lot of them are very superstitious by nature. What about you? Is there anything that you go through? I can't not do it before I get out there on the ice, or are you kind of more laid back about it?
Honestly, I'm very laid back. I don't have any superstitions really other than getting dressed the exact same way. I have a couple handshakes with teammates that I do before every game. I think that just kind of happens naturally, but like something that I have to do, no, is... Sometimes I just feel like if you don't do it, it throws you off your game. So I don't do it. No superstitions for me.
That's good. You're nice. I like that. You're nice and relaxed. I was with a hockey coach at BU, a guy named Jack Parker. He won about almost 900 games, and he was there for about 30 years. He was very superstitious, and he used to wear coach's shoes on the bench. And we were out at an NCAA regional, and our equipment manager forgot the shoes. And he looked him right in the eye and he says, if we lose today, it's your fault. That's a terrible thing to say to somebody. And we actually lost to Maine that day. So it wasn't a very good experience. He didn't get fired. Yep. He didn't get fired. He didn't fire the equipment manager. So he didn't like cut his head off or anything. So that was good. But
that's good.
I like a laid back goalie. That's good. And I noticed, I'll tell you, sports that you're interested in, I couldn't have more of a contrast. Badminton, you list badminton and football. Were you referring to soccer or were you referring to American football?
I mean, American football, but I'm actually not that interested in it. I played in it in grade 9, I think it was, and I just rode the bench. So okay. I kind of just did it for fun. But badminton, okay. I do enjoy a lot. I was actually a city champ back in, I think it was grade 9, 2 or 10. So that's definitely a sport that I do enjoy.
Okay. If it had been boxing and football, it would have made sense. I saw badminton and football. That's a pretty wide range there. That's for sure. on to Hamilton, and they'll be hosting this weekend to decide the ECHC championship. And boy, what elite talent and the brand name programs that are going to be on the ice there. It should be outstanding. And you'll get St. Lawrence. Your thoughts on facing your neighbors? You're going to be moving that battle of the North Country. It's going to move down to Hamilton. So I guess you could play anywhere. You could be playing out on the Rouge River in Montreal. It wouldn't make a difference. If the two teams are playing, it's going to be a rivalry no matter where you take it, I'm sure.
Exactly. Yeah. Of course, it's our rivals that we're playing, but We know what to expect, and they know what to expect from us. So it's always going to be a good game. We just got to do what we did against them the last few times, and I think we'll have a lot of success. But it's definitely going to be a fun game.
Absolutely, and hoping to get to that championship game. And a lot of history. You mentioned about double overtime, Cornell. A lot of history with Cornell and Colgate, and some great battles. So I know you're hoping to have the opportunity to initiate another battle for a championship.
Yeah, hopefully we get to that game first, so knock on wood, but yeah, two good teams. Well, I mean, it's three good teams now, and whoever we play in the championship, we can't worry about that. We just have to stick to our game, do what we do best, and hopefully get the result we want.
Absolutely. Well, best of luck. We'll be following here for Inside ECAC Hockey, Michelle, and best of luck. Step one, next step. Semifinal Friday night, St. Lawrence in Hamilton, for an opportunity to play for an ECAC championship. So good luck to you and your Golden Knights teammates.
Thank you so much.
Michelle Vasechnik, our guest here, the senior netminder for the Clarkson Golden Knights, our guest here this week, our women's profile on Inside ECAC Hockey.
Thank you for listening to this week's edition of the Inside ECAC Hockey Podcast. Follow ECAC Hockey across all social media platforms, and thank you to the coaches and players for coming on the podcast every week. This has been the Inside ECAC Hockey Podcast, hosted by Bernie Corbett.